do begin.
Check, check, check. Mic test, 1, 2, 1, 2. Yo, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today, my guest is Rambling Eddie Lopez. He is the lead guitarist for Electric Children and the founder of In Fuzz We Trust Presents. If you had the opportunity to check out the Redwood Bar prior to COVID, there's a big chance that you might have come across him. You either saw him rocking out with his band, or two, running around the venue trying to make sure everything is running smoothly as possible. He's responsible for the booking and the, setting up the concert, setting up those venues to make sure that everybody enjoys a great night at the place. So if you ever need a spot, if you ever need to get in contact with him to see if you can have your band play on there, then he's the right guy to find. Nonetheless, today he joins me to discuss the way musicians and artists have kind of adapted to the whole pandemic over the last year, and how within that turmoil that we were all going through, there was pros in terms of the creativity that a lot of us were able to kind of tap into and blossomed out of ourselves. So I think it's important to reflect on some of the silver linings that we are handed during these circumstances. Because overall, you know, the time that a lot of us had, whether it's because you lost a job or you lost a grounded source of stability and routine, it also allowed you to be able to have time to create and pursue your own personal hobbies, right? So again, it's always about looking for the silver linings in things and just trying to make a shitty situation into a better one. With that being said, today's music is brought to you by Electric Children with their song Out of Time. You can find the song on YouTube, Bandcamp, Spotify, and off their latest albums, which is Sunday Morning and Moon Dreams. So keep an eye out. Some of those are going to be released. I believe they're still kind of in the process of it. So as soon as they're available, go check them out, go support, subscribe, and go check them out live at the Redwood once everything kind of normalizes and, you know, those venues start opening up. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. We'll see you next week. What's up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today, my guest is Rambling Eddie Lopez. What's up, dude? Thank you for taking the time to come out.
Hey, thanks for having me. How goes it?
Yeah, man, it's first of all, it's good to see you again. I know it's been a while since we last kind of physically saw each other before. Like you mentioned, right now in the old world, you know, you'll come in, print out flyers for the events that you guys were having at the Redwood Bar.
Totally.
Now, can you give us a little bit of background about what you do?
Totally. First time, I do a little... a turmeric shot before I put a little ginger in there too.
Boost that immunity.
If you ever see me all uppity, it's not caffeine. It's these like ginger shots, yeah. But yeah, in the old world, I would book 350 shows at the Redwood Bar. And I enjoy every, you know, I would go to your place, print out posters and go to the record stores and put up the posters. And, you know, I met cool people like you at the print shops and cool people at the record stores and over emails and da da da. You like meet those beautiful people as you try to conduct business. And then the day of the show, you meet all the bands and try to take care of them, make sure they have a good time. And hopefully the bartender makes money and hopefully the bands make money. And that makes me happy, you know? And then we also serve food there. So it's all about like, that's the whole reason I got into that business, was to like feed people and hopefully they dance and have a good time and have a drink and go home happy, you know, like the human element. Social distancing is the most stupidest word I've heard in my life. You know, that's like some weird Orwellian shit. You know?
Yeah, I know. If we were in a concert hall, and we were each standing 6 feet away, it would look very dystopian. Like if we look fucking weird, you know,
but I get it for like like for the supermarket, it's perfect. I hate when somebody behind me is like crowding me in the supermarket.
Yeah. Yeah. But, they're just sniffing your neck and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But that's the only time where like the 6 foot being like kind of like, all right, you need to close, dude.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause I was watching some like videos on my iPhone. It kind of highlights videos from like the past 2 years and stuff. And a lot of them were me at concerts. Cause that's what I was mostly doing, you know, in the old world. Oh, yeah. It was concerts every weekend, every other month, you know, just going somewhere and just vibing to the music. And you see the videos and you see how close people are. And there's like this subconscious trauma. They're like, damn, I was way too close to this person there. But you miss it. You know, you miss the environment about it.
They try to program you not to be close to people. They don't want you to leave your house again. Like, they want you to be so like I'm going to get sick. But I get it. If you're like, if you have a weak immune system or other issues, I totally get it. Like, I wouldn't want to be close to anybody. But yes. The case by case thing.
Yeah, it is, you know. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, you can't really argue with that all the time. But, I mean, again, you know.
It's not a black or white thing, you know. It's a gray area. Everyone's built differently genetically, and everyone's different. Some people can withstand anything, and some people, like, will, like, get sick for any reason, like, all the time. Yeah.
No, that's true. And I think that's once we put that into consideration for anything, really, we can make more sense of it and really be more sympathetic about why certain people want to act the way they do. You know, I get it for sure. Every now and then you come across the people who are like extra super paranoid, and then you're like, all right, you gotta come down a little bit, you know. But yeah. I mean, again, you feel like that, cool, but still come out here screaming at me saying that you can't come into the building.
That's wild. And then you have two different extremes, you know, like the COVID deniers and then the like hardcore COVID like Karens. I know that word's played out, but there's a reason for it.
That's so 2020.
Yeah. I want nothing to do with those two groups of people. I'm just like, I'll wear my mask and like I'll play by the rules, but just I don't want drama, you know.
Yeah.
It's wasted energy.
Now the Redwood Bar, how long has that place been around? It's been around for a good minute, right?
Oh my god, before COVID, we were about to celebrate our 15-year anniversary. And had all these big shows planned with like huge bands and small bands and everything in between. And COVID was like, nope. So in the interim, I have a group called Electric Children. And instead of staying home and being all depressed, because we all stayed home for a while and I was like, oh, what's going to happen? You know? After that, I called my mates up and we just said, hey, let's just work on music. And we have like over 100 songs and stuff. So it's been like spiritually like an uplifting thing, you know, because when you're working 24/7, you don't even have time to think about anything. And now with COVID, it's like, oh, wow, I can work on all this music with my friends and being productive and helping others, too, in other ways. After COVID, we set up like a musician's relief thing to help people fill out paperwork to get funds and even set up like bands to make sure they're like incorporated so they can like take advantage of government benefits and grants. So we've been busy the whole time just trying to like help people out, because that's what it's all about, you know, like helping others. It's like an ecosystem, you know, you like you give and then you get whatever, but you keep it going, you know.
Yeah, it comes in a full circle at some point. Today I actually heard I was driving to work and I heard on the radio that they were saying that I think in 2020 the applications for businesses, like the business applications, they went up by I think like 34%. So it means that during that time, during COVID time, some people were taking that time of, you know, being laid off or having to start from scratch or something new. They took it upon themselves to be responsible for themselves and create some sort of business. And I think that's fucking cool.
That's awesome. That's great. I love people with ideas. And, you know, I'm a musician, so I love music. So, and I love helping musicians. And I'm glad that, you know, everyone's trying to like keep this going one way or another, you know. Like we started, my buddy down the street was having like bands play acoustically, everybody, you know, safely distance and all that crap from his backyard. And he had two cameras rolling, you know? So that's cool. Like people are keeping the music going. So the music's not going to stop whether they try to shut down venues or not, the music's not going to stop, you know?
Yeah. Have you had the chance to do any like live streaming, like with anything with In Fuzz We Trust?
We did a couple with my band at the Redwood. Mm-hmm. We did one in downtown for my buddy's bar. Studio, not bar. We did one at my buddy's by the satellite right here in Silver Lake. He had would have bands, do a few songs in his backyard. So that was kind of cool. And but you know what? Mostly a lot of bands are telling me, because I've booked like 2,000 shows in the last few years, and a lot of bands are already kind of like, we're all streamed out. Like we wanna play for people. We wanna tour. Like that's the whole point when you tour. You know, you like meet these new people just for that one night, and you exchange ideas and stories and hugs and pictures, and then hopefully you see them again the following year. You know, like.
No, that's what I miss. You know, it's the interactions. The you know, it might sound kind of like grimy to people, but like at a show, you know, it's humid in there. It smells like sweat, a mixture of alcohol, cigarette, and marijuana. But it's the ambience. You know, it's like, damn, this is a scene.
Art thing, yeah. And it was a scene. It was like, you know, Fuzz We Trust, Redwood thing was a scene. And a lot of bands are still telling me like, hey, what's gonna happen? And I kind of say like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, hopefully we can keep it going, but I'm gonna keep it going no matter what, wherever. I mean, if the Newsoms and the Garcettis don't let us have shows at venues, then we're gonna figure it out at some point of keeping it going. And of course, we don't want anyone to get infected or anything, you know. So we'll make sure it's safe and make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing you want to be is a place where it's a super spreader. Like, hey, it's that guy. Rambling Eddie Lopez, he gave everybody COVID. Yeah, you don't want that.
And then you're gonna have the COVID trolls who are probably gonna start going swing everyone, saying like, "Oh, I got sick at your place," and even though they probably were never even there, or that's a whole different beast, you know? Like,
yeah, it just seems like it's a lot of it. I mean, it looks like everything. I'm doing air quotes here. It looks like everything is going back to what it was like 4 months ago, prior to the holidays. But totally. I mean, who knows, you know? But again, it's like the bars, the restaurants, the venues. Like, fuck, it's been a whole year. It's gonna be a whole year. And
they finally passed that Save Our Stages Act, but I mean, that's just recently. But what about like these last 8, 9, 10 months? Like, you have to get creative to stay afloat. You know, it's like adapt or die.
Yeah. I was hearing something about Ticketmaster. I think they're thinking of implementing like a. Having a vaccine to prove to go into a venue.
That's fucking lame.
I know it's weird. I mean, I don't want to like have a conversation. Health is personal,
you know? Yeah, like, that's exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's a weird place, but I mean, for sure. I miss concerts, man. There's, you know, I miss going down to the bars and just,
man, that was my life, you know? That was my life.
How long for In Fuzz We Trust, how long has that been going on for? Like how many years is that?
Like I think 2017 we finally got really rolling, like just like booking shows mostly at the Redwood and other places. And then at some point we decided just to make the Redwood the home base and became partners with them. And they're lovely people and I love them, and a lot of good times there. A lot of like I was working during COVID on this little book of it's called Redwood Nights, so it's pretty wild. It has a lot of like crazy, like just everything you can imagine, like all the sex, drugs, rock and roll, all like a good little short film, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like three, 4 years, and before that, I was just booking shows part time here and there, mostly for my band. I would book my band and then other bands to like make a whole make it a night. But yeah, I love the whole process, you know.
Yeah, the process of booking the shows and putting them together type of thing?
Like, going to the record store, discovering a band, and then, like, falling in love with the band. Then you contact them, and you're like, hey, I love your band. Why don't you play my club? Oh, yeah, and they're like, yeah, great, awesome, thank you so much. And they're like, then I go to your place, print out the posters, go to the record store and put them up. Then I go record shopping, maybe discover another band. And then for weeks, just keep promoting the show. Put, you know, you want to make sure they have people there to see them, and then the band shows up and hopefully give them some drinks and have a good time, and hopefully they sell enough merch to get to the next town, and yeah, just the whole everything, you know. Like, and that's the thing, other people, like there's other people that think like, oh, anyone can do that, but they think it's just like, oh, let me just book a band and that's it. And it's like, no, there's like sometimes it's like 10, 15 hour days, you know, like just doing the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
because there's like 30 dates in a month, you know, so, or sometimes 31, but
yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I can understand people would see a flyer and they're like, oh, somebody else is going, but it's, you know, it takes that effort to get those people to show up, you know. When I used to be in a like high school here in where I live, there's a the Southgate area. Back when I was like a teenager, there was a place called the Allen Theater.
Oh, I remember that place.
Oh, you remember that place? Yeah, I used to be there.
I was in weird mosh pits there back in the late 90s. You know, it was wild. I grew up in Maywood Downey. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, I grew up in Maywood and Downey. That's where the Electric Children started, and then. Mm-hmm. Right after high school at Echo Park, Silver Lake, or whatever. But yeah. So did you go to Southgate High?
No, I actually, this is a smaller town called Cudahy. That's where I'm from. Yeah. So I went to the high school there. Oh, yeah. You went to Bell? Yeah. I used to go there too for like freshman and sophomore year.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Small world.
Small world. Yeah. So talking about that Allen Theater, they used to have this thing called the, like a street team. So you'll sign up like with your brand new email and they'll send you flyers and, you know, your free job was to just be, you know, giving the flyers out to people. Like, hey, check out the show. You know, they'll give you stickers to compensate.
Good times.
Yeah, man. Those were really cool times. Back in that time, I was going to a lot of punk shows. So, I was, you know, the mosh pit was like, that's what you wanted to be. You know, you wanted to be around it.
You're pretty intense.
Yeah.
And that was the thing too. When you were flyering, you'd be like, you see like some girl or dude or whatever with a like a wiper shirt, and you're like, oh my god, I love that band. And then you become buddies for life, you know, like like the human element, the human interaction, you know?
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's
the, and with digital flyers, you know.
Yeah, and that's what it was, you know. It was like the little community that was built around it. Everywhere else you have your little pockets of people coming together. But at least from this scene, that's what it was. It's communicating through the music, like, hey, you like this band? Or the patches, you have the patch. Oh, shit. I know I can approach this person because we're going to agree on something.
It's like, brother.
Yeah, it was good times, man. That was back in 2004. 2004, 2008. Okay. Yeah, that was a while back for me.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's a cool spot. Nowadays, yeah. It's mostly just like bigger concerts or little venues. There was a 5-star in downtown. I used to go there a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's right by us. That's like 2 blocks from us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like the whole just bar jump, you know, bar hopping, like downtown. Totally. LA. There was King Eddie's and Bar 107 at some point.
Exactly. And then I remember going to backyard shows, you know, growing up in our neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah.
Go to backyard shows, and I was still like, man, there should be like venues to have these types of shows. So at the Redwood, I would have every third Saturday, like an all ages Saturday afternoon show, you know, and that way the kids can have a place to play, because it's they need a place to play, not just backyards or the smell or whatever. but yeah, so that was fun seeing these kids go out there and just rock out, and their parents come and their little friends, and they're all like, you know, the parents would pick up the kids and pretend they're moshing. And that was like great to see. And I discovered like this cool band, Speed of Light, who are like my little brothers and sisters. And they're like getting bigger and bigger. And I love it. And they, you know, they kind of started at the Redwood. And I love seeing a band start from the beginning and just going up the ladder, you know?
Yeah, no, it's really, I think it's cool. Cause you said like the kids do need an outlet. You know, when I was a kid, I was, air quote again, in a band. I was a bass player, and I thought we were gonna fucking make it, you know. But we needed a place to like express ourselves, and it was either my backyard or a friend's like garage that barely fit the drum set in there. We're just kind of, you know, finding ways to fucking fit in there, and being able to have a space like that would have been great, you know, for a lot of us in our youth.
Totally. Yeah. So yeah, we do it for the kids and everyone else in between too, you know.
For the children.
For the children. Oh, my band's called Electric Children, so there you go. And then we also like, we want everyone to be represented, so then we have like these benefits, and we have like queer bands, so they can have their space and do their thing, and not just, you know, not just specific night. Like, I mean, we want to mix it up too and have everybody just like, as long as the music makes sense and it fits, you know?
Yeah, right. No, that's great. Now that to me, that's what Toby's been one of the biggest things. It's just having a space for people. And like you said, if you even if it's one time a week, if you're gonna give that space to the children, you know, to all ages, hey, you know, it's more than most people or most locations have, more than Maywood and Cudahy and any of these places for sure had. You know, at this point, Alien Theater is long gone. I heard it's gonna become some sandwich shop.
Oh wow, that's wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I mean, it's how it goes. It's just you want to make sure that those, I don't know, you want to keep the culture alive.
Totally. And it sucks, like by the time I got to high school in like the late 90s, they were getting rid of like the music programs, and I was so bummed, you know, because that was one things I was looking forward to, like, oh man, I'm gonna learn to play guitar, because my parents don't let me play, so at least I could do it in school when they're not looking.
Yeah.
That's crazy,
man.
But
and it got worse, man. It got worse. Yeah. I don't think at this point they maybe have some band every now and then, but
trying to kill culture. Yeah. We're gonna bring it back.
Yeah, that's the point. That's why we're doing this podcast, right?
Hell yeah. Spread the word.
Spread the word.
Music is forever. Yeah.
Like, I think it's a weird, I wouldn't call it weird, because then I'll just start sounding like I'm dating myself, but like in terms of music, like you hear the music that's out right now, and a lot of it is more synthesized. Like, it's not that it's a bad thing, you know, it's a sound. It's a sound that's placed in ways that sound very soothing to a specific person, similar to a guitar, you know. But to me, coming from seeing instruments being played all the time to going to buttons now or like tubes and whistling, like it's fucking crazy. You know, and it's a little saddening, because I see the guitar, and I used to think that was the most majestic instrument in the world, you know, and
it still is.
It still is.
Oh, and you know what's crazy is that we've been recording these three records at different studios all over town, and some of them were recording on 2-inch tape, like, you know, old school style, like the way they would do it in the, you know, pre-internet era. And I was talking to these engineers, and they said like the electrical equipment places are backed up in orders, are buying gear left and right as far as recording is wise, even vintage gear. And and I just shared an article recently about like Guitar Center and all these guitar and instrument places, their sales like quadrupled since the pandemic. Like, oh, guitar damn. Sales have been soaring to the point where like this one place in Ohio had to open up and build a second warehouse to meet demand. Like, so like, everyone's buying instruments during this pandemic, and it's beautiful. I love that. I hope, I hope everyone does play music and keeps it going. You know, I mean, I bought three guitars myself.
You bought three?
Yeah. During the pandemic, I was like, I mean, last year post COVID, I was like, damn, like I'm going to buy gear and make music and write songs. And like, before that, I didn't bought one in like 5 years. It's crazy. I'm like, I just got so wrapped up with work and other stuff that, you know, I was neglecting my band and other stuff. And and I'm trying to balance it out, you know.
The concept of COVID in terms of how it affected a lot of us, outside of the whole health issue and the you know, the unfortunate deaths that happened between the last year and now, like, it also gave a lot of people time, like extra time. And, you know, what happens when you allow a human to get bored? You start fucking thinking of all these things, you know, imagination goes off the fucking, you know, off the charts. And all you can really do is find a way to kind of express it. And people being fired, people losing their jobs, as unfortunate as it might have been for those who did have the ability to take advantage of that, they were able to manifest some really cool stuff, you know, and or start pursuing things that they couldn't do before. Like you said, that you were so busy with work, you didn't have the opportunity to really slow down and be like, yo, I need to focus on my music, you know. You were just full on in the rat race, and now that you kind of had your chance to pull out, you're like, holy shit, I could find the balance. It is possible.
Exactly. Yeah, if you're moving forward, I'm not gonna let I'm gonna try to keep it as balanced as possible, you know. Like, I can't just be doing one thing and not taking care of other needs. And so we started working on these three records and invited all our friends to be on them. Like my friend Jessica Von Rabid, who's the queen of the high desert, Nick Oliveri, who was in Queens of the Stone Age, and a bunch of other friends. We they're all adding their own little touch to our songs. And yeah, we're all like super excited. Like, wow, we can't wait till the world opens up so we can share this with everyone. Huh? I think I emailed you some songs too.
Yeah, no, I checked them out. I was going to ask you, I'm going to actually share if those are ready to release. I'd like to share one of them on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. You get the exclusive.
Hell yeah. That's right. Social Primate exclusives. Hell yeah. No, no, that's awesome. I appreciate it. But talking now about your music, how long have you said that it's been around for what? You said In Fuzz started in what, 2017? So
that's Electric Children. I started booking a lot more shows.
Yeah.
Oh, way before Children, that. Like 2010 or so. Yeah, it's been going for a while.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. How has that been with you guys?
Oh, it's great. It's we have one of the best drummers ever, Bill Bateman, in our band. He was in the Cramps, the Flesh Eaters, the Blasters, Mick Jagger and the Red Devils. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's also from Downey, so he's like a local legend. And but yeah, it's great. It's great. I email like songs to some of my VIPs, and they all love. You know, they're really ecstatic. Like, oh, we love this. This is great. This is the best stuff you've ever done. So that makes me, you know, just on a personal level, it keeps me going. You know?
Yeah.
Because these people wouldn't lie to me.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, that's what you want. You want people who are just straight up, yeah, like, straight up with you. If it sucks, it sucks. And, you know, if you're doing good, they fucking acknowledge it.
And it has, like, I'm using 60 styles of production, like meth thing. So it's going to sound like big, you know, like this big old, I have like three girls in my band, so their voices are going to be very prominent. Whereas in the past, I was like the main singer. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be like mainly the girls, where I'm going to take a step back a little bit, let their beautiful voices like ring, you know?
Yeah. Man, that's good. You know, you know that threshold for yourself that you were like, okay, I gotta take a minute.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And that inspires another set of songs where you're like, oh, I gotta write stuff that's more like melodic, where they can sing to, instead of just like a three chord garage rock and like scream thing, you know, like, I'm like, no more of that.
When you brought up the whole backyard stuff of backyard shows, man, honestly, I think I saw the craziest shit in my life, and it was always in a backyard show.
It was crazy as fights or some skinhead getting jumped or some weird like bottle getting thrown. And
no, sometimes I wonder, like, man, how did I get out of there without fucking a broken skull or broken bones? You know, at least for me, you know, I was always just a spectator of somebody getting their something broken.
There was like no security. It was just like, yeah, you're $2 and you're good, you know, like, yeah, underage drinking. And it was,
oh my god, man, that was that was the first time. I remember I was 14 when I first experienced my first drunken night. My parents were obviously fucking angry that day, you know. But yeah, man, I threw up a lot, probably more than I should have that day, you know. But okay, it was those shows that just you went to, you had a lot of fun, you didn't know your limits then. And you know, one of the experiences, I saw some girl, she came up to me, she goes, "You talking smack about me?" And she grabbed a 40 empty 40 bottle and just slammed it on her head, and it even bounced. It just popped out, like bounced off her head. And I was like, dude, and she just fell on the floor. Like, I was like, left. Yeah, I'm sorry, I was 14. Oh, I left,
man. I was too paranoid to get my ass beat, so I didn't start drinking until like I was in my 20s, you know.
Oh shit. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like an alcoholic here, for sure. That was my
no.
14, I stopped till like I was like 18, so it was a good break.
Good times.
Yeah, man, good times. But yeah, I mean, that's the culture of it. Although I know sometimes, especially I think in the last year, there was like all this drama with this other record label. It's called
Burger Records.
Yeah. And
Amateur Hour.
Yeah, I was like, you know, there was a lot of bands that I listened to from their label that I thought that were really good. And then when I saw all that kind of stuff come out, you know, it got a little weird. You know, you feel a little different, but fuck, it was just like a crazy thing.
I started hearing stuff about them years ago, and I always stay 10 feet away from any of that nonsense. But yeah, people that use like music or their labels to like taking advantage of underage girls. That's, I mean, that's lame. That's like,
dude, that's, yeah, that's fucked up.
Because I'm all about the music, you know. Like, you don't need a band. Like, if you need a band to pick up on a girl, like, that's fucking, that's kind of pathetic. I don't know. To me,
I think as long as you're in the same age range, fine. Like, you know, you're 17, you're 17, oh. You're 24, 24. But I think it's the whole mentality. Once you're older and you're older and you're like, you know, it's just gel baiting. I guess weird.
Yeah, I never got that noise. I always went into like, for me, it was like 35 through 55. You know, I never got that little young girl nonsense. You know,
hey, the cougars are the best.
The best.
Just kidding. I didn't say that. But anyways, onto other subjects here. Your music, man. Yeah, I was able to hear the. I had the chance to hear the songs and the stuff that you guys have uploaded on Bandcamp. Yeah, sometimes I like it because, I mean, there's always a variety of genres coming out, you know. But you know what you hear on the radio, it's never a good indicator of the culture that's happening at the moment. It's just what's mainstream. And I don't think there's a solid place where people can go and find or a station that plays this type of music more publicly.
Oh yeah, exactly. And speaking of that, I'm trying to working on having a website set up where I can have like a media player rolling all the 24/7 and have all my favorite bands on there and just promote music that I like through like the Influence We Trust website. And I'll have like streaming stuff going through there and links to studios that I like if you want to record. So it's kind of like a, like we were told earlier, it's like an ecosystem. We have to just keep it going and we all do our part. And so
there's different. Sounds like a great idea. It sounds like a version of internet radio for like, again, music that's outside of the mainstream public radio.
Totally, totally. And so I've been working on that and hopefully it rolls out soon. And yeah.
You guys recorded the last, I think your last album or the last couple of songs at Haven Recording, no?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did. You know those guys? You know those guys?
Yeah, I know. I met them twice, but that was like years ago. They used to host a podcast from their A Pint of Cacophony.
Dan, you know Dan?
Yeah, with Dan and what's his name? I follow him on Instagram. Jesus Christ, I forgot his name. He's gonna hate me. But it was Dan. Yeah, he's in San Diego now. But he came out on my podcast a few times. I was on his. So that's the first time I ever stepped into Haven Recording. Yeah.
Oh sweet, yeah, we did a. Because during COVID, a lot of studios started closing down. We were supposed to go to Rancho de la Luna, Halloween night. Or Halloween weekend and record some tunes. And it's a badass studio out in the Palm Desert in Joshua Tree, you know, like Queens of the Stone Age and Foo Fighters recorded there and all that good stuff. But after COVID, a lot of studios closed. And one day the Haven guys came down to the bar and we had lunch and then they said like, no, we're still open. And that's when we started our relationship with them. And we started just chipping away at, cause we had stuff already like tracked and we had built all these like, foundations of songs I needed to add overdubs, and they totally helped us with that. And so I'm forever indebted to them. But
it's a cool.
It's totally the day. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you see the spot from the outside, and you're like, "Fuck! It looks like I'm gonna get like mugged in here or something." But once you walk into the actual building, it feels cool. You know, it feels like an actual studio.
Yeah, it's like a weird night. Like I think it was built like in the 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
And like when you walk into like this. Door shop. It's like they make doors. you go into this basement. It's like, oh wow, it's like a bunker here. So it's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was definitely odd the first time for me. I was like, is this even? Like, where is this guy taking me? I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, I dug it, and our bass player Jasmine was really stoked. She goes, wow, you know, because she's like, it feels like you're going like time traveling or something, and
yeah.
And if Jasmine's watching, hi Jasmine. She's having a baby in a few weeks.
Oh, nice!
She's bringing an electric child to the world.
Electric child. That's awesome. Nah, man, it's crazy. I like listening to like the stories because you know, again, you have stories wherever you go. But to me, because I can relate to the experiences of being at a show, at a concert, backyard show, it's always been about, again, like the whole community, you know. And once you meet somebody, you can start doing collaborations with that person, and it kind of just extends from there, you know. And I think that's part of the magic of what, you know, the rock and roll culture is about.
Hell yes. And yeah, another thing during this COVID thing is because of COVID or whatever, and there's no shows, we've gone to like, I think, 8 different studios just in LA alone. So it's kind of cool to like, sometimes we're up in the Hollywood Hills at a friend's house recording, and that's kind of cool because that's a whole different deal. You know, and then New Haven's like in downtown in some old bunker, but then you go into like the Hollywood Hills and you know, we mix, record, and grill, and that's kind of cool. It gives you a little, reminds me a little bit of the old world where like, oh, this feels good. This feels good. Yeah. And then we were at Big Bad Sound, and they set up the studio that's, it looks like you're at a, like a 1960s Sunset Sound or something. These huge ceilings and this great drum room. And so, yeah, going, instead of touring the U.S., we're touring like the recording studios of L.A., you know, like, so that's, yeah, that's kind of a fun little, it's been adventurous and kind of cool. Like, I had my friend Deb film a lot of this, so hopefully we'll make like a little short film and talk about these studios and these people and how we're trying to get through this COVID, whatever, you know?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a trip. It's, I mean, especially, I'm hoping, what did you say? Like, you said potentially this fall they have like an,
I think like Dr. Fauci said like the music can maybe like by the fall, but I'm not making any plans.
Let's hope so, man. Fingers crossed that we can, and we all celebrate at the Redwood Bar.
Right, well, yeah, we're gonna go hard that first night. Yeah.
The first night, it's gonna feel good. Although I think that whole paranoia of like being like, we're gonna have to reassociate ourselves into being so close to people, you know, it's gonna be weird at first.
I know friends that are kind of like, I don't think I'm gonna go to another live show for a long time ever again. I'm like, what? I'm like, fuck, crazy. Like, they're just gonna like hibernate, I guess. Like, yeah, that's not living, you know. You gotta live.
I mean, anybody can compare it, but you know, again, before in shows, you'll get all sweaty and you know, you'll be rubbing against arms with other people, potentially getting ringworms or all this other stuff. And you know, now to think like people wouldn't want to, like it's like
bruises and
yeah, I got kicked in the face once with a steel toe boot. This girl's like jumped off the stage and they're like, catch her, and I turned around and boom, got a boot to the fucking eyeball, man. All I saw was red from here for a few hours. I was like,
that's going to leave a mark.
I'm still beautiful, man.
Like, ouch. Just a little bump. Do you want to tell your friend, is it bad? Like,
yeah. Yeah, there's, I mean, you guys, if you guys are planning on, I mean, you guys are regardless still planning on making the music, releasing content as it comes out.
Absolutely.
You're like, do you feel like you're going to take your time between projects to release, or are you going to kind of just, you know, throw it all that, put everything on your plate at once?
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm going to just like slowly mm-hmm. start releasing stuff here and there and like build it up. And then, but yeah, I figure like once every 3 months, like put something up there, you know, whether it's Bandcamp or YouTube or, mm-hmm. And then I think by May we should have like something pressed, like an actual CD or vinyl pressed. And then we have some people helping us too. So we have a good team. And yeah, we just love music and we want to get it out there. And
no, that's good. Again, you guys have the foundation already.
Totally. But I think the Greeks said there's like 4 or 5 different types of love. There's like the love you have for your child, the love you have for your partner, the love you have for your parents and siblings, the love you have for like that winter breeze, and then like the love for music. That's a whole different type of love, you know? Mm-hmm. And we love music, and that's where it's coming from. We don't care about like those burger dorks that were doing it for like the wrong reasons, or you know, or anything else. You know, like it's about the music. You know, we love like people that love music, and we love music, and that's our target audience, you know.
Yeah, no, I like how you said like the perverted dorks, because it's like a.
Oh, the burger dorks.
Oh, burger dorks. Oh. I said perverted dorks. Sorry, Burger Records, but I mean, not really. But yeah, dude. Before we're almost at that time frame here to start wrapping it up. Like, when are you guys planning on releasing like the music that you sent over to me? When are you planning on releasing that?
Oh, I think we're trying to get a final mix. So hopefully by the end of the month, I'm trying to get at least one of those out by the end of the month. I think one of those songs I sent you already got released. That was the first single from the next release, and then I'm trying to put out one single from each release every few weeks, because one's an acoustic record, one's a rock opera, and then another one's just a regular rock record. So I'm trying to like mix it up. It's not just like three records that sound the same, by no means.
Yeah, yeah. No, you gotta keep the variety, you know. That's, and it's cool because you're actually, you know, putting the effort to make them unique.
Oh, totally. So that's like, it's not just, yeah, it's not like the typical stuff. It's like we don't sound like ourselves as much, but it's still us with a different twist. So every band has to evolve, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just sound the same all the time. I mean, unless you're the Ramones, and I mean, yeah, it's cool.
You can get away with it as the godfathers of punk.
But now more than ever before, in these crazy times, it's more important. It's important to show grace and compassion to everyone around us, you know? Because people are hurting, you know, and music heals. And hopefully we can, you know, numb people's pain or whatever. But yeah, because I noticed a lot of people are just like, you know, people that I thought were like cool, like they're like completely snapping and losing it. Like that breaks my heart. So hopefully, yeah, just being, everyone should be, just be cool and compassionate and nice to one another out there. Because it's kind of ugly out there. So. It's all about like damage control and just try to like put these flames out, not fight with each other, you know, while the fire spreads.
Exactly. It's like that dog meme. I don't know if you've seen it where it says, this is fine and everything else is burning behind them. I mean, it's pretty much, you know, like at work, I have to come across people every now and then where, again, like they're on that, you know, on that threshold of just snapping on you because of, for whatever reason.
And, on edge. You know,
yeah, and it's easy for me as a person who's receiving the energy to be like, hey, fuck this person. But, you know, when you really put yourself in their shoes, you can be like, okay, I don't know what this person is going through. Like, let me see if I can kind of calm them down, you know, like.
Absolutely, like diffuse the whole thing, you know, like. Well, same thing in the bar business when people are snapping or too drunk, like, you don't make it worse. You want to just, like, put out the fire and, like.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you get on their level, then it's chaos and fights and just fights. Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, that's the last thing anybody wants. Yeah, you don't want none of that, man.
Yeah, well, someone wants to get sued.
Now, if people want to find your music, what is the best, or if they want to just get in contact with you, like in, you know, when we go back to the new COVID post concert world. Well, like, what is the best way for people to reach on, like, you know, in terms of In Fuzz We Trust, you know, Electric Children?
Oh, cool. In Fuzz We Trust at Yahoo. There's also electricchildren.bandcamp.com. Mm-hmm. Instagram, I check everything. Instagram, all of the above, you know?
Yeah, that's good. You got the bases covered. No, I don't know. Like, I see some artists who get onto certain platforms but not onto others, and I don't know if it is because they don't know how to get onto them, but I've been meaning to, like,
don't care.
They don't care. I mean, that's probably true, right?
Do it all, like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tinder. No, just kidding.
Put it on the bio. Oh, lead singer or lead guitarist for Electric Children.
Burn, yeah. Swipe left.
Yeah, don't do that, man. No, but I mean, regardless, man, thank you again for taking the time and coming out. Yeah, I do hope that it's not too long before we can all congregate again and inside a venue and fucking have a beer.
Oh, yeah. As soon as we open up, yeah, we'll have some drinks, man.
Sounds good, dude. Again, but if people want to find you, they can just find you on Instagram as electricchildren_. What was it?
Yeah, electric children_ or In Fuzz We Trust.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, as soon as we as soon as you guys have everything set up, you guys start releasing content, let me know, man. I'm more than happy to share it and, you know, have people tune in onto it.
Sounds good, brother.
Awesome, man. Well, you enjoy the rest of your week and stay safe.
How are you too, man?
And don't get COVID.
Yeah, don't get COVID.
Peace, man. Take care.